Welcome back, everybody. Listen, you want to disagree? Like I said, you want to disagree with me? Have at it. Send me an email. Argue with me on points. I don't mind. I really don't. I've been doing this for a long time. Not radio, helping people, managing people's money, and I've been afforded the luxury, the insight into people's lives. And whether, you know, you might think it might be anecdotal, I've learned a lot over the years. I have learned a lot about people. Study human nature and the mistakes that people make. I oftentimes give an example here on the program in our today's society, or our modern society, and how many people out there that make a decent living. When I talk about decent living, I'm talking money. Have serious salaries, serious jobs, but they don't have any wealth. They haven't been building any wealth. They're in many respects, their relationship with money changes when they start making it. And what it becomes a vicious cycle. It becomes a spiral. And they start hanging out with certain types of people, going to certain things, and they have to continue to do it. In many respects, I've had conversations with people, and they said, you know what, I didn't even like what I was doing. But they find it very, very hard to get themselves out of it. This is why I'll talk with people that make a ton of money, and they've got $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 plus in credit card debt. And little to no wealth. Kind of put this in terms. Let me talk about it in terms of restaurants. Let me give you an example. Kind of not losing who you are. Not too long ago, I was on invite. I was at a business meeting. I was with my wife in the city, and the people we were out to dinner with. They wanted to go to this place in Manhattan. It's one of the most expensive Italian restaurants in the city. Not a place I would say I'd want to go to. But they wanted to go there, so we went. And you walk in, and the place is inside an old bank. And, yeah, I took a look at the menu. And, again, I know Italian food pretty well. And I don't know what they were doing. This is all small little portions and whatnot that they were serving. And push came to shove. Well, dinner is done. I'm still hungry at the end. But again, everybody's got a fawn all over the place because, oh, look at how awesome this is. Look at how great this is. Look at the ratings. It's in all the magazines. Yeah, right. I don't know how I choose restaurants. Okay, I choose them. The ones that have been around. 10, 15, 20, 30, if not longer, years. Why? Because I know they're good. They're not flash in the pan. Those are the ones that I look to. You know, that's the thing when it comes to money, when people start having money, is oftentimes the amount of money that they spend on something equates to it automatically being better. Yeah, quick story, another restaurant story. It's back when I worked in a restaurant. Back when I'm working in a restaurant Upper East Side of Manhattan, one that's been there now for, 3.5 decades? Phenomenal. Again, restaurant tips, when you're going around, ask me. I'll point you in the right direction. This guy that used to come in all the time, he was a real jerk. He was annoying. He was rude. The bar, loud. Maitre D said, oh, he's coming in again. He's like, Chris, he's going to want to, you know, sell him that bottle of wine there. It was a $8, $9, $10 bottle, I think, our cost. We might have sold it. I don't even think we sold it. I mean, it was like house stuff. Wasn't that great? Like, sell it to them for 70, 80 bucks. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, fine. You sell it to him for an expensive price, he's going to tell you it's awesome. Sure enough, the maitre d' was right. What am I trying? What's my point here? What am I trying to get across? You don't want money to define you. You don't want money to give you fewer options, right? One of the things we do for our clients, and we've talked about this here on the program, you're life prepping is what you're doing. You're life prepping. You want in life, you want options, you want optionality. You want to be able to make a turn, go in a different direction if you have to. And that's what wealth can do. Wealth can also what? Box you in. I have this bill, I owe this, I've got this car bill because I have to have the fancy, this kind of car because I make this amount of money, and I got to have this type of house because I make this amount of money. No. No. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about my life. I was kind of going back in time. I got a lot more reflection as of late, as my kids are getting older. I know, you know what made my kind of prompted it this past week is my eldest son is taking his Regents exams. He had to take his biology Regents exams. It's a New York State test this past week. And I remember taking that exact same exam. Well, I don't know. This nostalgia coming back to me actually made me think about something. You know what? We got to take a break. I'll get back into it when we get back. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is our site. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com, our newsletter. Consultations with our certified financial planners. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com, or give us a call, 800-471-5984. That's 800-471-5984. We'll be back.
Chris Markowski is the Watchdog on Wall Street.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
United States and Israel officials meeting in Washington on Tuesday discussed their serious concerns about advancements in Iran's nuclear program and agreed to the significant threat posed by Iran. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said they will focus attention on the growing threat from Iran, providing drones and precision-guided missiles to its allies. Sentencing for former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and George Floyd's death has been pushed back to June 25th. Chauvin's previous hearing was reset by Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill. The online court docket gave no reason, but court spokesman Spencer Bickett said the move was due to a scheduling conflict. Some women around the country are reporting menstrual cycle changes after taking the COVID-19 vaccine shot.
Even if there is a connection, that I would be terribly worried about is representing a long-term problem.
Dr. Heather Huddleston on ABC 7 in Los Angeles, USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is The Watchdog on Wall Street.
Welcome back, everybody. You don't want to ever lose who you are. And you never, ever want your wealth and your money to define who you are and where you came from. It's talking about stuff and how oftentimes wealth can give people, or money can give you, wealth's a bad word, money can give people fewer options. Fewer options. Talking about thinking back and nostalgia. And I put this in terms also of real estate, housing, simplicity. I have my home here on the North Shore of Long Island. When we moved back, I've been living with my my in-laws now for forever. And difficult to find a house for seven people, and we eventually found one. And this one's a little bit bigger than what I wanted and a little bit more land that I wanted, but I love it. Love it. Big backyard, kids can play in. It's great. Great to have people over, barbecues, all sorts of stuff. It's big enough where, you know, I don't need to go into the city. I don't need to have an office in Manhattan. I don't need to have an office anywhere. I have a ton of space. Most people don't realize this. I actually had this question the other day. True story. Guy was asking me, couldn't believe it. He said, you have your office and your studio in your home? Well, what do you do if clients want to come and meet you? I have them over to the house. If it's nice out, we'll go in the backyard. I'll cook them a burger. And we'll hang out. We'll do what I would normally do. I don't need to be in some super fancy glass tower building with everyone wearing ties. And I don't have to do that to do what I do. I am who I am. You know, come over and hang out. I'm going to have people. I work out of my house. There's nothing wrong with that. More than enough space. I've got my own area. And again, it's good for me because the most important thing to me is time. I arrange my life so, I have a lot of work I have to do over the course of the day. But guess what?
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
United States and Israel officials meeting in Washington on Tuesday discussed their serious concerns about advancements in Iran's nuclear program and agreed to the significant threat posed by Iran. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said they will focus attention on the growing threat from Iran, providing drones and precision-guided missiles to its allies. Sentencing for former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and George Floyd's death has been pushed back to June 25th. Chauvin's previous hearing was reset by Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill. The online court docket gave no reason, but court spokesman Spencer Bickett said the move was due to a scheduling conflict. Some women around the country are reporting menstrual cycle changes after taking the COVID-19 vaccine shot.
Even if there is a connection, that I would be terribly worried about is representing a long-term problem.
Dr. Heather Huddleston on ABC 7 in Los Angeles, USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're on Facebook Live today, so you can look that up at Happy Hunterdon. And today, I'm excited to welcome Julie Kaminsky. She is at juliekaminsky.com, and she is a wellness, well-being coach, trainer, counselor, fitness enthusiast, and she started this very cool thing called the Walking Book Club. So we're going to learn all about that. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, and I want you to just kind of start by telling us a little bit about your background, who you are, how you got started on this journey, and take it away.
Well, I was a synchronized swimmer. I know everybody might giggle at that, but I was a synchronized swimmer through college, and when the athletic board cut the funding for our program, I turned to group fitness, the music and the energy and working with others. And I love teaching group fitness. So group fitness led to personal training. And I realized when I was doing personal training that the clientele that I was working with was not necessarily looking for a perfect bicep curl, or it was really more of a holistic approach in feeling better. So really, I think my journey in terms of working with the holistic perspective started about probably 20 years ago, before health coaching came to the forefront and is now actually overseen by the board of the National Board of Medical Examiners. Mm. So it is really an up and coming, very validated and credentialed
profession.
There's meat to it.
Profession,
now.
Yeah. I mean, coaching is ginormous. It's a whole new industry. It's amazing.
So I got my training with Well Coaches about 12 years ago. And then as the field advanced, I sat for the first cohort to become a national board certified health and wellness coach. Uh-huh. But I also have a master's in counseling. So the skill set that I like to work with when I work with clients, I call it healthy body, happy mind. And so it takes into account really the exercise, the eating behaviors, the nutrition, the stress management, the spiritual refueling aspect. But then it also takes into account the mind aspect, which I pull from positive psychology. And together, it's really interesting to work with people and work in that paradigm with those two, because what tends to evolve is everybody's kind of hot point for that or starting point or meaningful is unique. And one of the things that I... An analogy I use when I start with people is imagine you had a big puzzle of however many pieces, and everybody might have people's pieces might be thousands. It might be a little more simple, but we dump these pieces, these symbolic pieces, out on the table, and we kind of start to play with them and find the corners, because that, you know, if you think about how you do a jigsaw puzzle, you know, what are your corner pieces? What are your edge pieces? And what does an individual's optimal, healthy body, happy mind look like for that person? And it's so amazing to me to go on these journeys with people and see what evolves. And when you really dig deep, and the person allows themselves to think a little bit bigger or drop the walls a little bit, it becomes really a transformational process, and it's very humbling and a blessing to be able to walk with people on this journey. So that's kind of where I come from in terms of how my work has evolved over the years. And then, you know, the Walking Book Club was actually a tool that I used with clients to encourage them to move with more enjoyment. Mm-hmm. By engaging the mind and the body, and kind of having a fun rule that you have to be moving to listen. So
okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, and I got this quote off your website. I think it's yours. It says, "Your recipe will be different, and therein lies the magic."
Yes,
right. Yep. I love that, because everybody's different. Every body's different. Every mind is different. Mm-hmm. Every person's different. And so, you know, one solution does not fit all.
Absolutely.
Especially, right? You know?
Absolutely.
And I believe that so wholeheartedly, because also, you know, when I've had simple medical procedures or whatever, and they're like, well, no, that's not going to happen, or that's never happened before. I'm like, well, you know, it happened to me, and my body's unique, and mm-hmm. you can't predict, you know, yeah. So I think you got to own yourself, but you also have to discover yourself, right? And discover what works.
Well, and I say that when I do a workshop or I work with people, we are different down to the cellular level. We really are. And then, you know, building up from there, our families, where we are at in life, maybe even where we live geographically. But if you really drill down, we are different on a cellular level. And what I like about that is that you can work with, say, a younger woman who's training for a marathon, and her optimal exercise might be to go out and do a training run, mm-hmm. okay? But you can also have a woman who's going through breast cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. So her optimal exercise might be just to get outside and walk to the mailbox. So you're not saying this is the answer to somebody. You're trying to help them find the answer for themselves. And it does take into account all of the real world things that go on.
Right. Well, we're also conditioned to compare ourselves to others, right? Which mm-hmm. has no framework, no basis for that, because we're all in a different place at mm-hmm. a different time and with different goals. So I think that's amazing. So what I think one thing that I think everyone needs to pay attention to right now, and you're hearing it, is self-care, mm-hmm. right? Which is so important, you know, as we come out of the pandemic. And I mean, it's always important, but people also often put, especially women, put themselves last.
Oh, yeah.
And they should be first, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll share kind of a light bulb moment for me. And I hear you, and I think as women, and I don't want to stereotype or generalize, but is doing for others, especially if you're a mom. And I was reading The Art of Happiness, which is an interview with the Dalai Lama, and the quote that still stands out to me is, "You owe it to yourself to seek your own happiness." And really, when you are coming from a place of thriving, and this is proven scientifically, which is really pretty cool, if you are thriving or you're flourishing, that radiates out. So to find a few things, because life is chaotic, the chaos of life is really kind of throws off our big dreams and our plans. So, but if you can tune into a couple of things which nourish yourself, that's important. Mm-hmm. And we need to be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you mentioned flourishing. So I heard there was a recent New York Times article, and it's been kind of the word in the vernacular lately is that languishing. Mm-hmm. Like people are languishing when they mm-hmm. need to be thriving and flourishing. And mm-hmm. how do you get back to that point? So
yeah.
I don't know if walking helps, or walking with a book helps. So.
Well, and I think I read that same article, wasn't it? It was yesterday, maybe?
It was recently.
Recently. So. The field of positive psychology, are you familiar with that at all?
Seligman out of Penn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it, what I like about his work is it's, sure, I kind of use the word happy because it's a little bit more relatable, but really it's about flourishing and thriving. And it doesn't mean that you're running around with a smile on your face every day. It means that you're finding some meaning and purpose and some flow. And the research is showing that the people who have been more resilient have been able to tap into the meaning, the purpose, and the flow within the pandemic. So it's really not necessarily about walking around with a great big smile on your face. It's the concept of flourishing and thriving. And what you had said there is that people are kind of in that in between. They're not necessarily floundering, but they're not flourishing. They're
languishing.
They're languishing.
Yeah,
and it's you kind of go, we've had a tough 18 months, and that is very understandable.
Right, and resilience is key, and that's what they're saying. We just had a seminar here at 100 and last Friday, and we had two speakers on resilience because it's mm-hmm. and a lot of the kids don't have resilience because we've helicoptered the kids to death, and so they haven't had to fail, and they haven't had to experience resilience as adults. Some people don't have it, and some people do, but I think we've had a lot more practice because of our age bracket than the younger generation has. So they're trying to remedy that mm-hmm. and figure out, but and the growth mindset is mm-hmm. a big thing, right? You've got to mm-hmm. be able to learn and grow and change, and balance is another one people talk about. And balance isn't a state of being; it's a juggling act constantly, because you mm-hmm. you can't have perfect balance. Something, life is going to come at you, and you're going to you have to mm-hmm. be able to adjust, right?
Yep. And one of the things that I talk about, which is kind of an interest for me, comes from positive psychology, is people who are able to savor not only are able to overcome hurdles, but it actually lends itself to them thriving. And I did a whole set of interviews on the concept of savoring, and kind of walked away with what I call cupcake moments.
Oh, yeah.
And cupcake moments are this small, bite-sized, personal victories or meaningful or validation or positive, the small things that occur. And it can be you look nice today, or it can be you just notice the sunshine, and mm-hmm. Is to be able to capture these cupcake moments and savor them. Mm-hmm. And what I like about the cupcake moments is when we think about savoring sometimes and celebrating. We think about the big moments. We think about birthday parties and anniversaries and baby showers and weddings. And those are great celebrations. And the reason it's kind of cupcake moments is, you know, often these big celebrations come with some type of cake.
Exactly.
So it's really the little moments that, in a way, fill your soul and your spirit. And if you can capture them and savor them, it's one of those little things that you can do. And even just to say, this is a cupcake moment. So
I know. I love that. Did it coincide with the Martha Stewart cupcake craze of a few years ago? Right?
No. And when I was interviewing people for this, the one young woman said, well, you're not really advocating, you know, eating a cupcake every moment. I said, well, no, that would be really contrary maybe to, you know, that my role as a health coach.
Maybe a cake pop. How about a cake pop, Norma? Yeah. No, I love that.
But it's that symbolic kind of small celebration.
No, I love that. And I love the image and it's a great, mm-hmm. it's a great analogy. Yeah. So we're going to take a really quick break and then we'll be back.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're on Facebook Live today at Happy Hunterdon, and we're excited today to be talking to Julie Kaminsky. She can be found at juliekaminsky.com. She's a coach, counselor, trainer, health, wellness, well-being, all this positive psychology, all this great stuff. But we're going to dive into her cool thing. I'm being a room-to-read advocate. Anything to do with books, I get excited about. And so she started the Walking Book Club. So we're going to learn about how that came about and what they do.
So I know audiobooks have really taken off, but we were actually using audiobooks. I'd say I had a Facebook group on it for a couple of years now. So it's not necessarily new, but it has picked up, especially during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the Walking Book Club is a global, free virtual community that the idea is to listen to an audiobook and be moving. It's called Walking Book Club, but really it's any type of movement. And the underlying hope is that you enjoy the book so much that you maybe are a little bit more active, or you are doing your chores with a little bit more enthusiasm to increase activity with enjoyment by engaging the mind in a great story or a great audiobook. So it's been around for a while, and we've been listening to audiobooks ever since my son was in third grade. My son is dyslexic, and one of the accommodations for him was audiobooks. So even before we were all carrying around our personal devices, we were using tapes and CDs for him to listen to the books. Mm-hmm. I'd drop him off at school, and I'd keep listening. So I realized that, you know, this was kind of an added exercise hack, in a way, mm-hmm. to my own routine. And then as my wellness coaching practice became more prominent, it became a way to engage people. So we've been very active in the pandemic and have hosted some amazing authors. So the platform itself, if you are interested in it, you can follow it on Instagram at The Walking Book Club, or you can go on Facebook, and we have a discussion group, and we'll have a group selection, but it's not mandatory. You can move and listen to anything you want, and then you still get all the health coaching prompts. So there's I ask people to share their goals for the week, and then how did they do? And it's also interspersed with some, I call it healthy body, happy mind inspiration. So, you know, small reminders. I think this week it was about that if you eat 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, you can get about 40% of your hydration needs. Mm-hmm. Or, if you walk happier, if you kind of fake it till you make it, yeah. that if you walk happier, you'll be happier. So mm-hmm. whether you do the group book or mm-hmm. you do your own book, you get all of this in the community. So it's an audio book club with a healthy body, happy mind ethos to it. And it, as I said, it's free, and it's worldwide. It's grown. Mm-hmm. We have members all over the world, wow. and people will often send in their pictures of where they're walking, and there's some really amazing pictures. Wow. And it's really you can see people actually connecting within their own country. There are a couple people in Manchester in England, in the UK, and they're like, "Oh, you're right down the road." Oh. And eventually, or one of the big picture goals that I had for the Walking Book Club, and maybe we can return to this, is to have people meet up in person all over the world. The pandemic threw a little bit of a kink into that, but maybe we can regroup. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we've hosted some amazing authors. Last year, about this time, when the pandemic was really raging, I was sitting on the couch, and I think it was the owner of the Sixers came on, and he was asking celebrities and friends of his to donate various things to raise money. And I kind of said to myself, "Well, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference or to help? You know, that philanthropic aspect." And I thought, "Well, how about if I invite some authors to come on and we pair it with a charity or a humanitarian cause?" So I reached out to some pretty big authors, and I don't know if you recall, Jeanine Cummins wrote American Dirt, and it hit the New York Times front page, very, very controversial. And we had chosen this book before Oprah chose it, and before Warren Barnes and Noble had chosen it. Yeah. So I actually chose it prior to its release, prior to it making headlines, and putting the book aside for a second, I decided, well, what's the worst? I'm going to ask her. What's the worst that can happen?
Right. Yeah, she sounds
said
no.
Yeah, yeah. And I have, but she said yes.
Yes.
So it was an amazing event. We had both Jeanine Cummins and the narrator of the book, Yareli Azurmendi, on, and Jeanine was doing her own effort to raise funds for immigrants in the Arizona desert.
Okay.
Which, interestingly enough, I went to school in Tucson, so and I worked with kids in Camp Wildcat. So it was just
the connections,
the aligning of stars for this to happen was really amazing. So we raised gosh, I would think we raised like $1,500.
Nice.
For her effort. And that kind of kicked off in her response to that was, and it's on the Walking Book Club on Julie Kaminsky, that it really resonated with me that she said, you know, book clubs like ours have the ability and the opportunity to open up difficult discussions. And it really made me look deep into the subject matter. And anyway, it was really a tremendous event, and that became kicked off what I call Heart and Soul Book Chats now. So since then we've paired several authors with humanitarian causes, and I think last year the total we raised was about $3,500.
Nice.
With only four of these events. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing. I mean, we've met with Lisa Wingate, and she's a number one New York Times bestselling author, and raised funds for Feeding America. Well, and especially in the time of the pandemic when so many nonprofits are struggling. And then we met with a Canadian author. She wrote Good Morning Monster. It was a terrific memoir, and that went to Covenant House.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It was nice pairings. Yep. Yeah. Yep. No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, I love that concept, and that is one of the benefits or the silver linings of the pandemic is that people have access now to all these authors and these speakers, mm-hmm. and these, you know, because without the travel and the booking and the schedules and whether, you know, people are happy to jump on a call for 20 minutes mm-hmm. or 30 minutes. You know, I mean, that's the accessibility of all these incredible minds and authors. Mm-hmm. And that's been a definitely a good thing about this whole thing. So so people can go to juliekaminsky.com. You even have a space on Goodreads, right? You're on Goodreads?
We do. Yep.
Yeah, so Goodreads, mm-hmm. Facebook.
Instagram,
Julie Kaminsky. So mm-hmm. if you want to get into the Walking Book Club, because a lot of people have talked about, you know, we've been cooped up and we're ready to get out. It's springtime here mm-hmm. in New Jersey anyway, and we can walk and talk and listen mm-hmm. and convene. So check it out.
Yeah, and one of the things that I try and enrich the experience with, I call them book extras. So it can be either questions to prompt thinking, or it can be background on like in historical fiction. Well, what's the nonfiction that is part of this story?
Yeah.
So one of the books we did was The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna, added a lot of book extras to that. And we also did The Yellow Wife, and that was an amazing round because the real story behind it. So in conjunction with the if you decide to do the group selection, you get kind of all these other tidbits that really enrich the experience.
Yeah, what's The Yellow Wife about? I don't know that one.
It's written by Sadiqa Johnson, and it's narrated by Robin Miles, who was awarded the best female narration, and we met with both of them.
Wow.
So it was really an amazing event, and it's about the slave trail in Richmond, and a woman who was black but could pass was taken as a very notorious and cruel slave trade. He took her as his wife.
Yeah.
So the woman is real, but Sadiqa tells it from a fictional perspective.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But we had a public historian come on, and we could interact with all of these amazing authors and resources and hear the behind the scenes and the story.
That's
so
incredible.
It's a really cool community.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely was checking it out, and it's very exciting. So check out the Walking Book Club, but it all evolved from 30 years of your experience in doing the coaching and mm-hmm. the training. So if someone has put on some pounds in the pandemic, or they want to take this time to reevaluate, reprioritize, and make a change, like if they came to you, or what advice would you give to people that need to kind of like stop languishing and start flourishing and kind of regroup and start forging ahead?
I love that question. So I really encourage people, and I call it kind of the push-up of work. It's nobody really, I mean, very few people like push-ups.
But they're hard.
They're very effective. So I encourage people, if they're able to, is to step back, and especially in a way the pandemic makes it an ideal time, or coming out of the pandemic as we start to find our new footing. It's actually an ideal time to take a step back and look at what do I want? What is my deep meaning? What resides in my heart? And that can not only be scary for some people, but it takes an effort to, and there are some tools that I use with clients to pull back the layers and see what's in there. So in answer to your question is, if you're like, okay, we're coming out of the pandemic, I need to regroup, I need to reprioritize, I need to take off weight. Let's just say that, because I think many of us, including myself, are battling a few. But the best place to start is looking at the big picture and looking deep and finding the meaning, because that is where your motivation comes from. And when you are motivated and you are tied to that goal, when you encounter hurdles, you're going to be able to get over them. And the reality is in life is we're going to encounter hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
So let's just, if I'm working with somebody, if we can, I encourage them to look at the big picture. And really, if it's a meaningful, if they're exercise and they're, you know, allowing themselves this freedom to think and dream bigger, some things will naturally rise to the top. And that's when we go back to, you know, everybody's different. Well, mm-hmm. What's going to rise to the top for you and why? So even if it's like weight loss, you kind of keep asking, well, why is that important? What's the result going to be? Why? So you get that meaning, and then, okay, this is, you've declared, or you've kind of, you've feathered out what you is important to you and what you want to work on. So whatever that is kind of narrowing down into one or two, maybe three things that you want to focus on specifically. So if it is, and there's so many ways that you can go about weight loss, and we think kind of calories in, calories out, but really, I had one woman that I worked with that, you know, she came to me for weight loss, but when we kind of laid out those puzzle pieces I referenced before, she realized she didn't have much self-care at all. In fact, she was kind of bewildered by the question because, you know, besides a manicure, she didn't really take care of, you know, what was going to fuel her soul. Mm-hmm. So in the process, we talked about ways that she could practice some self-care. And within that, she actually lost weight because the ways that she was practicing self-care was to try some different types of classes. So we didn't tackle it from the perspective of, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to, you know, run a 5K, or you're going to take three classes, or you're going to spin, or you're going to this. It was, okay, what's self-care for you? So that's kind of an example of when you look at what the goal is, you can come at it from a variety of ways. So maybe it is increasing your, you know, activity. Maybe it's decreasing your stress. Maybe it's prioritizing sleep. Mm. One of the things that I think is so underrated is, and I think it's getting more press, I wrote a book, and they say it in the book, I think sleep is the holy grail of wellness in a way.
Yes.
And not only, you know, mood and attention and ability to function, but in terms of weight loss, if we're talking about weight loss, and that's the area that I do specialize in, is helping people long-term, lasting weight loss. Your hormones change when you're fatigued, and your hunger hormones go up. It's almost, I think the statistic is it's about a 40% increase in how much you're hungry if you're sleep-deprived, because your body is wanting something and is going to look for it in generally food, and really what it's craving are those the
sugar, processed caffeine,
the the simple carbohydrates, the potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not a lack of willpower. That's actually your body sending signals that I'm tired and I'm going to look, feed me.
Right, right. Well, I mean, having kids, little kids, when you're mm-hmm. sleep deprived, I mean, yeah, I was just like, just give me a couple, you know, donuts to get through the morning so mm-hmm. I can, you know, I can just push, you know, I mean, right. that's yeah. just normal. Yeah. But sleep is number one. That's holy grail in our house for sure.
So if we go back to kind of the question about, you know, now that we're coming out of the pandemic and I do kind of specialize in lasting weight loss and maintenance, is before you know, kind of go down that I'm going to count calories and I'm going to exercise, is take a big picture look. And one of the other things that I look at is, you know, what are your eating behaviors? I mean, most of us know what decent nutrition is, mm-hmm. but not everybody dials into so much the eating behaviors. Are you eating when you're hungry? Are you stopping when you're full? Are you eating for boredom? Are you eating for stress? Are you eating because you're anxious? Are you eating because you're sleep deprived?
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, instead of tackling it straight on, maybe then it becomes, okay, I got to practice some more stress management. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? And that's the beauty, is there's no one answer to if you're saying, I want to work on stress management. Well, you know, the world is your oyster on how to work on that. And it can be a walk in nature. It can be planning a vacation. It can be so many things.
Reading a book.
Petting your cat.
Yeah.
But to kind of tackle it from a way that works for the person and has meaning for the person.
Right. Well, like anything else, the devil's in the details, right? You can just say, you can put up this goal up there, like, yeah, mm-hmm. this is what I want, but no, how, you know, you gotta do the work and make the steps and then, you know, do that to get mm-hmm. there, right? Mm-hmm. It's, but you're helping them put that into a manageable framework and a path
right.
that
and
they can get there.
One of the things that I actually love about the I don't want to say skill set, but one of the things that I think makes a huge difference is working with some really solid evidence in goal setting theory.
Yeah. I mean, there's a science behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So share some of that with us, because, you know, you can put it on a sticky note on your mirror, but where does it go from there?
Well, yeah, yeah. So what I like about the kind of the skill set that I bring to it is I take positive psychology and you kind of cross that over with goal setting theory. So you're coming at it from a much more positive, productive framework. So one of the workshops that I do is it's like getting super smart. And I say super smart because SMART is the standard acronym for goal setting. So if people aren't familiar with that, that stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound. Mm-hmm. And that is a fabulous starting point. But there are things that you can do that go above and beyond the SMART acronym. So one of them is a good goal will be a leveraged goal. So what I mean by that is if you have now narrowed down what you're working on is, let's say it's to get a better night's sleep. Well, that if you're working on that goal and you're targeting that behavior aspect, when you work on that, that's going to naturally tick into the next thing that is in line with your overall picture. So maybe that becomes your eating healthier. Mm-hmm. So if you think of it in terms of a domino, you do the one, it ticks the other, it ticks the other, it ticks the other, or a pebble in a pond that it radiates outward. So sometimes people will put goals that are conflicted, and that makes it that much more challenging. So, for instance, it might be you really want to get a promotion at work so that you can buy that first house, but probably taking tennis lessons and going out is probably in conflict with that. Right. Not that one right. is bad, one right. is, right. is well, good.
Yeah, you got to pick
but
one.
But yeah. they're in conflict with each other. So a good goal is a leveraged goal. And, you know, going back, a good goal is also very intrinsic, which we kind of recovered that in motivation and meaning. And then a simple thing that you'd be surprised at how many times goals are not necessarily worded positively. Like, instead of "I won't eat junk food," you reframe it to "I will do. I will eat more fruits and vegetables. I will drink more water." So a good goal is also worded positively. One of the most powerful things in goal setting, and I listen when I work with clients, I try and listen to what is their social influence. Social influence is one of the biggest predictors of healthy behaviors. If you hang out with smokers, you're more apt to smoke. If you hang out with people who are obese, you're that much more likely to be obese. So, and this is not, you know, Julie's experience. This is it is studied and validated out there. So I will listen to what are their social influences. And one of the biggest predictors of longevity is the company that you keep. So and that goes back again to positive psychology positive relationships. So in looking at people who you're surrounding yourself with, are you surrounding yourself with people that are supportive of your goal? So sometimes we have to, like limit some interaction with some people. So when I work with people in goals, we'll talk about that sometimes if it comes up.
Yeah, because it's hard to cut certain social ties or to change habits you've had for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Changing a habit is really hard.
Yeah.
Right?
And relationships evolve over time, and sometimes they get richer, and sometimes you realize it's divergent. And that can be very challenging for people.
Oh, yeah.
But I've seen it working with people over the years is that when people have realized that this is no longer a healthy relationship with them, it makes a very positive decision in their own world. So
right, because if you realize you're focusing on your own self-care, and sometimes that means cutting ties with people. I mean, yeah, it's bad for them, but your focus is what's good for me, right?
Well, and sometimes when I do this workshop, people go, "Well, what about so-and-so, the relative?" And that's when it gets tricky.
Yeah, no, I get
but
you. Yeah.
One of the things that you can do is you can get some tactics to deal with this. And there's an acronym in the goal setting world, and it's gotten a little bit more press recently, and it's called WOOP, and it's W-O-O-P. And it's also been studied and validated in many different fields. And if you think about it, it's true. It's not enough just to want something. You've got to plan for the inevitable hurdles. Mm-hmm. So the acronym stands for WISH. What's your wish? So there's your, there's your goal. What's the outcome if it happens? So what's the motivation? What are your obstacles? And generally, people can anticipate obstacles because it's life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what's your plan? What's your backup plan?
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. So if people come to me and they say, "Well, I'm going here and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to deal with this challenging relative," or we talked about this in one of the group calls, and I said, "Well, what's your motivation underneath this?" And she was very articulate in saying that she wanted quality time with her son. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if she focuses on that, you can get a plan to get around the obstacle. Mm-hmm, so just by grounding in the wish and the outcome helped her come up with a plan that made sense to her and came very naturally. So when I work with people, I encourage them to not only have one plan, but a couple of back pocket plans.
Right. Right, yeah. So you should combine that. So it's smart WOOP or WOOP smart, or like, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, no, I love the acronyms, and I mean they do help, and it helps remember. So you've got the wellness workshops, and again, hashtag healthy body, happy mind, because they are connected, right? That's the other thing we figured out with positive psychology and other things is the mind and the body are actually connected, right? Before they were totally separate, and they do influence one another, right? I've said this before, but the one thing I get in my mailbox every day, my email box is from tut.com, and it's thoughts become things, so think good ones. Mm-hmm. So I love, and they have all these little funny things and tips and tricks and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And the other thing I was going to ask you is where do you do your walking? Like, people probably walk all over. New Jersey has amazing parks and trails. And where do you like to walk?
Personally?
Yeah, yeah. Where do you like to walk? And have you had community walks before pre-pandemic or no?
No, no. Okay. So really, I referenced this in the beginning. I absolutely adore teaching group fitness classes.
Okay, good. I didn't know that. Okay.
But the pandemic really put a stop to that. Yeah. They downsized staff. And so walking was kind of an add-on to what I did. And to be honest, the older you get, the less impact that my body can handle. And, in fact, sometimes I look back at what I was doing at 30, 35, and I go, geez, I wish somebody might have said to me, you might want to skip the box jumps or stuff like that.
You need to go back to the pool. The pool's good, right? The pool's pretty easy.
So, in the neighborhood.
Yeah, okay, no, that's good. And so what was your preferred group? Like, are you